Chapter 11. Both her parents had been raised in religious homes, although her mother had abandoned most of the traditions. Her father made sure they observed the Sabbath and the high holy days. Natty enjoyed Purim, one of the few happy holidays. She liked dressing up as Esther and swinging the groger when the rabbi said mean Haman's name. The Sunday school teacher always gave them treats. Grandpa and her uncles went to shul regularly on Friday nights or Saturday mornings, with or without their families. Grandma went on the high holy days, but she always said the prayer over the candles and served large Sabbath dinners. She often asked Natty to cover her head and bless the Sabbath. No one in her Cleveland family was strict about resting on Saturday, since it was too much work to do. Some families had a Sabbath goy to turn on and off the lights in the oven. Natty's family didn't do that anymore in Cleveland or in Brooklyn. Her father taught Natty and Abby about Jewish traditions. In each of his letters, he reminded the girls to be good to others above all and shared short excerpts from the Torah portions he heard at the synagogue. He taught them some Yiddish from the time they were very young, which came in handy when eavesdropping on the conversations their mother had with their uncles and aunts. As she walked to her grandparents' house after school, Natty fantasized about a friendship with Kathy. They would be best friends and tell each other everything. It would make life so much more bearable. As she neared the building, she remembered the snake. She decided to ask her grandfather to help her look for it when he walked her back to Uncle Max and Aunt Sylvia's place later. Grandpa was very good to her and would help her without making her feel silly or childish. She told herself she had to be mature about this. She was 14, a teenager. It was silly to be afraid of snakes. She had to live up to her name. Brooklyn meant tough. When Natty entered the apartment, she found Grandma and Grandpa sitting at their sewing machines in the back room. As promised, Grandma had made a beautiful golden sponge cake filled with cinnamon and raisins. It sat on the small kitchen counter atop a doily on one of the best plates in the house. They stopped their old-fashioned machines powered by foot pedals and circular hand cranks. Grandma rose out of her chair to hug Natty, turning her over to Grandpa, who gave her a bear hug that reminded her of her father's. "How was school?" they both asked at once. Before she could answer, they made their way into the kitchen, pushing Natty in front of them. "Come, Bubala, we've waited all day to hear. Let's have some cake." Natty drank the strong Fendel coffee made the old way by boiling coffee grounds in water and pouring the liquid into a cup. Grandma put a piece of sugar between her teeth and sipped her coffee through it. They ate delicious, moist sponge cake as Natty told them about her classes and Kathy. "A shiksa?" asked Grandpa. "Your new friend is a shiksa?" Grandma gently patted his arm and turned back to Natty. "That's good, Mamala. It's good to have a friend." She saw Grandma turn a warning eye on Grandpa to keep his mouth shut about shiksas. She didn't seem to care that Natty had a friend who wasn't Jewish. Grandpa had a typically Jewish face with a prominent nose and a weak chin that wobbled when he laughed. He was tall and skinny with a small paunch. There were a few gray hairs left on either side of his head. He ran his fingers through his hair when he was stressed or thinking deep thoughts. Grandpa's hands were large, incongruous for a tailor who had to perform delicate work. He always wore a dress shirt with a tie and suit pants. He put on his suit jacket when he went out to deliver garments to customers. Grandma wore one of her many different house dresses, but changed into a dress complemented by expensive-looking costume jewelry and low heels when she went out. She had a beautiful, expressive face. Natty's mother resembled her. She told Natty once, "We dress nice to see customers so they know we can sew nice clothes for them. Then one person tells another person and so on. That's how we stay so busy," laughed Grandpa, waving his hands toward the work table piled high with fabric. Natty's uncle sent them rich customers. Her mother had told her Uncle Bob said they should charge those people double what they charge the neighbors and local shopkeepers. Natty, my child, we left Budapest because they stopped liking Jews there, said Grandma, touching Natty's arm to get her attention. It's a good thing we did. We were very young when we married and had our children. We came to America to be safe, she continued in a strong Eastern European accent. Grandpa laughed. That's right, Bubbla. Your mother likes to say she was born here, but we know better. The point is, resumed Grandma, looking irritated by the interruption, we know how it is to be not liked because of what you believe. You make this Kathy Shiksa your friend. It's all right by me. Okay, Grandma, but I don't know she'll want to be my friend, said Natty. Feh, said Grandpa with a smile. How could anyone not like my Natty? He gave her a kiss on the cheek. Now, back to work, he said, extending his hand to his wife to gallantly lift her from her chair. Natty also got up. She felt better. Her grandparents filled in the gaps left by her absent father and neglectful mother. She fetched her books to begin her homework. Grandma and Grandpa went back to their sewing machines. Later, Grandpa walked her back to Uncle Max's place and made some excuse to inspect the place for snakes. Finding none, he gave Natty's hand a squeeze, wished them all a good night, and took his leave. That night, Natty was still worrying that a snake would crawl into her bed, but she thought of the good day she had, despite Abby's remark. She met someone who might become a friend, and her grandparents loved her. Natty and Kathy passed notes in class whenever they could sit next to each other. They ate their lunch together, along with a few other girls and boys who gravitated to Kathy. Natty was aware she was among the popular kids only because she was Kathy's friend. Natty didn't care why Kathy had chosen her, just that she had. Natty noticed a few of the boys looking at them across the cafeteria table. She figured they were looking at Kathy, until she looked up from her homemade lunch of chopped liver and crackers to find one of them staring directly at her. No boy had ever looked at her that way. She was proud of her shiny black hair, but hated her overbite and thought her bust and hips a bit too big. She put her head down as if analyzing the chopped liver that looked like soft cement. Brooklyn, do you have to bring that smelly stuff to school? Yuck, it looks awful too. How can you eat that stuff? Said a girl sitting next to her. Everyone at the table looked at Natty. You're right, it's awful stuff. I wish I didn't have to eat it. I'll bring something else next time. It's okay, Natty. Here, take half my sandwich. I'm full, said Kathy, eliciting murmurs of surprise from everyone at the table. Natty was astonished. She accepted the half sandwich from Kathy's long, tapered fingers, placed it demurely on her plate, holding her pinky in the air because it seemed like the proper way to do things, then wrapped the chopped liver and crackers in the wax paper in which she had brought them. She deposited the crinkly package in the wastebasket next to the table. When she sat back down to eat the sandwich, she noticed the boy across from her look up and smile. Before long, Kathy and Natty were double dating to the movies in the soda shop. Kathy told Natty she hadn't told her parents about her Jewish friend. She met Natty in safe places such as school or the movies. She didn't tell Natty that their family came from Appleton, Wisconsin, where anti-Semitism was a way of life. Natty wrote to her father. December 18, 1947. Dear Daddy, how are you? I miss you so much. Guess what? I met another new girl at school. Her name is Kathy. She looks like a movie star, and she likes me. We always sit together and we go to the movies. We go with our boyfriends. Mine's name is Paul. He's so cute. You'd like him. Kathy's boyfriend's name is John. Please write soon, Daddy. I miss you. Love, your Natty. Her father's letter came quickly. December 27, 1947. Dear Natty, I'm glad you have a good friend. She sounds nice. I'm sure she's not as pretty as you are. Please tell me more about her and this boy, Paul. Does your mother know about Paul? I'm fine. I keep busy at the store, but miss you all very much. Please give the enclosed notes to your mother and Abby. I'll call soon. Love you to pieces. Daddy. Abby awoke every few mornings in a different shabby motel room or boarding house in a different town to see her mother preparing for their day at another clinic or hospital. The doctors poked and prodded her, giving her the same tests at each place, never believing her mother when she told them the results of the tests from the previous clinic or hospital. So far, institutionalization, insulin therapy, shock treatment, and holes in her skull had all been suggested as possible treatments. Mother rejected each one. At the end of each doctor visit, Mother always grabbed Abby's hand and marched her out of the clinic or hospital, muttering once again that they may be doctors, but they don't know anything. Can't they see you need tender, loving care, not their barbaric treatments? Each doctor also proposed a different medication. Mother took each prescription and crumbled it as soon as they left the office, tossing it in her handbag so no one else could pick it up out of the garbage and take medication they shouldn't. Back at the hotel or boarding house, she ripped the prescription into little pieces before discarding it. Every morning, Mother brought them each a coffee and a roll or a muffin at a coffee shop she usually found around the corner from wherever they were staying, where they ate at the boarding house. They didn't eat lunch except for a piece of fruit from a fresh produce stand, so Abby, at 17, was always hungry. They ate dinner together, either with other boarders or from a hot plate her mother brought with her from place to place. They each carried two suitcases and a handbag wherever they went. Lugging everything on trolleys, buses, or trains was tiresome, but Mother seemed to have enough energy for both of them. It was as if she thrived on the seemingly endless journey to make Abby well. Mother rarely seemed to notice the men they passed on the street looking at Abby. She knew she had a good figure and brown eyes. She saw men looking at Mother, too. Why did they want to look at an old woman, Abby wondered. She longed to leave Mother behind and settle down with a man to raise her own family.